Blog Talk Radio.
Blessings. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the New Beginning Ambassador for Yeshua. Your host, Wes Armstrong. Deacon Wes Armstrong. Excuse me, y'all.
I got this cough.
Seems like I can't get rid of it. It's kind of funny. My wife, she's talking about, she got a cough too. She said, I believe I got strep throat. I said, come on now, wait a minute. How do you have strep throat? If you have strep throat, you probably wouldn't be able to talk. You know? It was kind of funny, though. I told her, well, you can't speak things on your life like that. If anything, you go from what you know. You got a cough and maybe a little sore throat. And, you know, you can't take it but so far. But you should know about your body. And like I said, it was kind of funny. When she said that, I said, gee, if she got strep throat, I got strep throat. My throat should be closing in on me, and I should be going to the doctor too, you know. And she said she was going to urgent care. I called her a little later on, and she didn't go to urgent care. She said, oh, it got a little better. I had me some lemon tea and some cough syrup. And, you know, and it was kind of funny to me, you know, the way she said it. It was like strep throat. Now, strep throat, that's kind of dangerous. You know, we can't just speak things on ourselves and don't know, you know. And we can't get to the point where if we're in pain or suffering or got some kind of issue, we can't let the devil just put words in our mouth. You know, that's a no-no. Well, at least it should be a no-no. But anyway, welcome to New Beginning Ambassador for Yeshua and your host, Deacon Wes Armstrong. Now, we were invited to a community revival tonight. And Mount Nebo, Unity Holy Church of God Incorporated in Jonesville, North Carolina. But it was a last-minute invitation. I believe we went last year, my wife and I. And I think that's why we were invited again, because they know that my wife and I, we try to make those things if possible, but not this year, okay? So to God be the glory. We thank God and give him the praise, honor him. And I put this out on my Facebook page. Earlier today, I was at work, and it was a memory. It was a memory, and I brought it back. The program used to be called Voices from the Street, Keeping It Real. Been there, done that. And of course, the director of the organization, he asked me to change it up, so he changed it. And it was to be that how can we as older adults communicate with the younger generation to bring about stronger family values and morals? It seems as though these things, among others, are an attribute of our people that has been thrown down and not regarded as beneficial to living a life of contentment. And it's just like, the young people, they just don't have no commitment to do too much of nothing. You know what I'm saying? And it's that, if we can say things sometimes to them. They'll say, okay, all right, I hear you talking. Okay, I'm going to do that. But, you know, hey, they hold to their own devices. And they do what they think is correct and right in their life. But 9 times out of 10, it's not right. All we can do really is pray for them. We give them something to go on and just hope that they'll pick up on it. You know, I used to be out there too, and people would be telling me, yo, boy, you need to stop doing this and stop doing that. I'd run into some dangerous situations, but, you know, since it didn't take me out, and I just kept on going, you know. Tried to do a little different the next time, but wound up at the same place the next time. So after a while, God's spirit, you know, got a hold of me and changed my life. So, you know, just trying to give some information to help the next person to learn and let them know that God is real. God can help you through situations. It seemed like I was going through a dry situation there for a minute, but it was just the devil trying to discourage me to take away my hope in God, waiting on God, being patient, waiting on him to do something for us. And it just seemed like it wasn't going to come to pass. But my spirit has been renewed. My hope has been uplifted. And, you know, hey, all I can do is wait on the Lord because I trust in his word. His word is true. It definitely is true. And let me read this real quick, and then I'll we'll have a quick prayer, and then I'll open the mic. Okay. All we are and all we have, if it is of any value at all in the scale of eternity, is given us by our Creator and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And we are told by the word that if we don't know, we need to ask. Just that simple. Just ask. Ask God. You know, and he doesn't hold anything back from those that ask. We trust and believe in him and keep that hope in him that he's going to do what he said he's going to do, you know. my wife, she prayed 30-some years. You know, boy, she prayed so many years for me to come back. Okay, so she got, situated in other relationships. And boom, before you know it, 30-some years, and God sent me back, you know. So we don't know if our prayers are going to be answered tomorrow. They're going to be answered next week or 20 years from now. We just don't know. But we hope and trust in him and go from there, okay? All right. Let's have prayer. For the sick and afflicted, those that are in prison, those that are in nursing homes and hospitals and facilities with illnesses, we're hoping and praying that God will touch their bodies as he touches their mind. Because as long as our mind is stayed on him, we have peace, you know, no matter what's going on in our bodies. And for our loved ones, our neighbors on either side, my coworkers, the clients and their families at the job where I work at, and me, and those that are listening. God, we need you to help us go through. All right? Let's have prayer. Most High God in heaven and in earth and underneath the earth, we look to you for all things, Father God, from the beginning to the end. You have created us in your image. And your likeness, we have been created, Father God. And we thank you that we have been reconciled back to you, God, being drawn by your spirit to do the right thing, to live the right way, and to give the right information to any and everybody that asks. We thank you, God, for life, health, and strength. We thank you, Father God, for us having a sound mind to be able to accept the truth, no matter what it is, from your words, Father God, giving us what we need to survive on this day. Thank you for bringing us into this day. Thank you that we're still here. Thank you for your word. We thank you for the time that you've given us, Father God. And as I mentioned, all good things come from above. And we know, Father God, that your love comes from above. And we honor you and look to you for all things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen and amen. All right. Good evening. It's coming up. Good evening. Good evening. Okay. Bishop Gray is preaching tonight. And like I said earlier, we were invited to come, but it was last minute, and then I got home from work at about 4, and it takes about an hour to ride down there. So we, you know, would have been in a rush, tired. worn out. So we listen to a little bit of as we go through tonight. Okay. Put some stuff out on Facebook. It was some old stuff to try to encourage young people to try to change their life up. My wife and I, we were listening to a pastor from Dallas, Texas, and he was talking about us being good stewards and the tithe. He was talking about the tithe and people going through life as though they can't make it, you know, and we were compared to some other countries around the world to where we have more than enough. We have overflow. And there are people that are throwing stuff out that are so-called outdated. They're complaining about we don't have enough money to make it or to do this or to do that. And he just pointed out a few simple things that we get caught up in the world that we don't have to get caught up in. He mentioned cable TV. He mentioned that. He said these things, he used two words that are P's, start with P's, the letter P's. One is like a need. And one is like a desire, you know. Then kids with cell phones. It's not a need, it's a desire, you know. And the parents, the kids come to church with the parents or the grandparents, and they get the cell phone and they play games while the service is going on. There's no need. Why would, you know, in the first place, why are they in church, you know? They should be trying to get something from the preacher or from the service itself, you know, something they can have with them because the word says teach a child in the way that they should go. And when they get old, they will not depart from it. So if we take the kids to church and they play on cell phone, they're not learning nothing. They're just there. And then, too, he mentioned about there is an overflow of blessings in this country, and we, a lot of people don't understand it. They don't realize it to where we have more than enough. We have more than enough. He mentioned back in the day, and I remember too, jelly and peanut butter jars. When you finished using them, you rinse them out and you put them in the cabinet. Instead of running down there, they call themselves having a sale. Some glasses or cups or whatever. You run down there and you spend a whole lot of money for this stuff, and then you put them up and don't use them. You know, my mom was like that. She'd buy this stuff and put them in the china cabinet. We'd never use it. We never use it. You know, and it's similar to a waste because we have it and don't use it. You know, it's just taking up space. You know, and I thought about stuff like that. So he's got a point. There are a lot of things that we have acquired that God has allowed us to be stewards over, and we just got too much stuff. A lot of times we don't know how much stuff we got and exactly what we do have, you know? And it's a waste. It's truly a waste. I remember when I was a kid, I used to have to help dust furniture, you know? And we didn't have a whole lot of hardwood furniture and stuff like that, books and shelves and stuff. And it wasn't bad at all. You know, get some furniture polish and wipe down the organ and the coffee tables, and that was about it, you know? But nowadays, oh, my God, look at, you know, we got all this stuff on the coffee table. We got bookcases with books all over the place. We got whatnots everywhere. They need to be wiped down, too, because they collect dust. But who has time to do that? You know, to me, it's a waste of time because you have acquired this stuff. It needs to be wiped down because you can see the dust on it, you know, and it's just sitting there. People come to your house and they see the stuff that you have, you know, and they just look, see what you got. You know, you got a house full of stuff. Oh, my goodness. You know, I'm just that type of person, you know. I like to try to be practical, like in life, outside my home. I'm not an outside type guy, so a whole lot of flowers, trees, and shrubbery and stuff, it looks good, but eventually you have to go out there and keep that stuff looking good. And if your body gets broke down, what you going to do? You got to find somebody and pay them to keep that stuff up for you. You know, that's how I look at it. I don't know about the next person in line, you know. And then he mentioned something about buying clothes. You know, we just run out. Oh, I like that suit. I thought I'd get it. I got 15 suits in the closet, you know. And I compare that to the Jews. Now, if you know anything about the Jews, back in the day, and even now, if you go into a Jewish neighborhood, or even watching the Jewish movie on TV, they keep it the same. The men, they wear a black suit, black shoes, and a white shirt. No colorful stuff. You know what I'm saying? And the women, they wear the same thing. I think it's purple and dark gray. That's how they live. They don't buy that extra stuff because they don't necessarily deal like we do in life with a whole lot of money. They deal with a handshake. A handshake is respect. A handshake is a promise. You know, it's a promise that I will pay you back, or you get your money back, or your merchandise back. You know, and I looked at myself and said, well, you know, I got these suits in the closet. I got just about every color there is. And I thought, and I said, what if I decide to just get me two or three plain black suits, you know, three or four white shirts, would I be satisfied with that? And you know, it kind of hit me. And I said, well, that's separating myself from the world right there. Because the world has this for you. It has that for you. But why is it that I have to be a part of that? I keep it simple for myself and not run out here like my brother-in-law with every suit color in the rainbow. You know, to me, it's just practical stuff. You know, real practical stuff, not complicated. You know, not really complicated and not wanting to be in no spotlight, please. Don't want to be in no spotlight, you know. People, they put you on the spot when you're in the spotlight. Everybody want to come up and ask you a question. About what? I don't know nothing, you know. But it was just on my mind. And I just started speaking on a couple of things before. Now, the mic's open. Anybody speaking? Oh, whew. Well, I got worked up sweating. Okay.
Lawson speaking.
Good evening.
Good evening. Hey, you little congested, little coffee, but how you feeling generally?
I feel pretty good. You know, the coughing is irritating because can't get it to stop. But other than that, hey, what am I going to do? You know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, just to reaffirm what you were talking about, growing up,
yeah.
I mean, we would have the white, the black. Mama would always love her red. So, but we, I mean, obviously, the whites, the blacks, the browns is what we grew up wearing in the race. We didn't grow up wearing all these hot pink and greens and all that. We didn't do all that.
We didn't either. No. But it was to draw attention because the world's wearing it, you know, and the world wants us. We're in the church. The world wants us to be like them, you know?
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. The world wants us to be like them. But we have to let the world know, no. No matter what you got over there, what I got here is better. Don't have to go through no changes of getting all those suits clean, all those shirts washed, you know, all these shoes fixed. You know, we have to me, like I said, it's time to be practical because the world is getting worse. Prices are going up. People are getting a little bit more dangerous. So we have to take care and make sure we're trying to do the right thing, you know.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. See, the thing about it is, everybody thinks that everything fits in this little box. Church B over here has done it, then Church C has to be followed behind Church B. And then Church C be like, well, C is done it, somebody else has to do it. So, no, but we have to stand out and be for my glory, because if we're not for my glory, he would not be happy with us.
That's right. That's
I mean, we had to sit down and really think about what we're following and who we're following, and we need to separate ourselves to be able to live according to what the Holy Word says. Because we can't do all this on our own.
No.
We have to account for something. We owe my glory, my Lord, my precious, glorious, my Jesus. We owe him every single thing. He gave up his life. He shed his blood for each and every one of us. And it is crazy for people to be disrespectful and dishonorable and be degrading to my Lord, because it's not fair to him that he gave up everything. Every single thing he gave up for every last one of us. It wasn't for just for one or two. It was for everybody. Them that was disrespectful, that was hateful, that was cruel, that was mean, even for them. He did it for every single person, that everybody would have the right to the tree of life, that we all live according to his word. We will be able to go to what I call my promised land, which is the glory of heaven. Because we have the opportunity and we have the right. So we can't falter, we can't pray, we can't give up, we cannot give in, we cannot take down, because we have to live according to his precious word. I had a conversation with a lady, one of the CNAs today, and I told her, I said, my Lord is watching you. You need to pull back on everything you're doing. If he tells you to pull back. And she was like, well, my Lord's not going to leave me. He's not going to forgive me. He's not going to turn his back on me. I said, he wants you. Take the warning, take the heat, or stop. I mean, it's up to you. It's your own life, heaven or hell. It's you. So you have to do according to what my Lord tells us to do. So it's not one of the things that is the in-between, let me do this over here or let me do that over there. It's a straightforward line. 66 is straight. There's no wavering, no wavering, no turns, no bumps, no bruises. No, nothing. 66 is the total number of books in the Bible that we have to reference and live our life by. We cannot be taken, well, let's just look at John, or let's just look at Matthew. No, Jesus is pretty good. Let's just look at Genesis. No, the whole 66 books is what we have to go by.
Yes. About right. That's about right. And, you know, I wanted to say something. I wanted to say something real quick. When I had sent you a message, it wasn't that I wanted you to change yourself or change what you stand for. It was that I wanted you to let people know the words that you were using, they represented certain things. So some people, they listen to you and they get kind of lost because they don't know what my love means or, you know, stuff like that. They don't know. And I don't want them to get the wrong impression. You know, that's all that was, okay? You don't have to change. You're doing pretty good. Okay?
Okay, well, let me interrupt you here. For everybody that's listening, my step is, my salvation is very personal. Everything is very personal to me. Because if we can't be a group of people and be the same salvation, my salvation is completely what my Lord gave it to me. And I tell him, I tell him thank you. And I ask him if I can call him my Lord, my love, my life, my strength, my salvation. I ask him if I can call him all those things because it's very personal. He is my everything. So every time I reference my love is my Lord. My love is my Jesus Christ, my glory, my God. So my everything is my. And it's what he means to me. He is my life.
It's for you.
He is my shepherd. He is my strength. He is my purpose.
Yes.
He is my way. He is my way maker.
Yes.
He is my creator.
Mm-hmm.
He is my strength of true love.
Mm-hmm.
So I tell him he is my love. And I tell him my true love. So just so everybody will know, my etiquette is everything is personal. So with me, my salvation is very personal. So I had to tell him, to him, my Lord, you are mine. Because I am his, and he is mine. So I got to make sure that, and I do apologize, because I know I've said it a couple of times, but it's just to take advantage of just kind of make sure that whenever you think about salvation, when you think about your personal walk with my master, it is the work that is yours alone. So take it to your point, to what you think it is. What's good for me, it may not be good for you. But what I do is my personal relationship, my personal walk, because I'm walking directly to the light.
Well, thank God for that. You know, I didn't want, you know, you to go away upset, you know, by me thinking that you're going to change just because you're talking on my program. No, it was just that some people listening, they may misinterpret what you're saying. That's all. That's all. But you just let everybody know what let everybody know what time it is, see? And that's all it was. Mm-hmm. That's all it was. That's all it was. Okay.
I'm sorry. I picked the wrong way. I was frustrated with him that day. I was frustrated because they were doing some crazy stuff. And I've been in arguments with these people, how they're doing things. So I do apologize again. But I cannot take down from my salvation. I cannot take down.
You don't have to apologize. You don't have to apologize. Maybe I came up with it the wrong way or whatever, but it was just that I wasn't sure if these people were understanding the way that you had it. You know what I'm saying? Yours, the way your situation worked for you, you know. That's all that was. That's all it was.
We still good.
And see, I decided to do the program tonight because they have gave me an assignment to do in the missionary convention in 2 weeks. So I'm just trying to get myself hyped and ready for that. That's why I'm on tonight. Now, next week, I might have to call them.
Well, honey, I really
they want me to speak at missionary convention now. Okay? It's going to be at our church. It's going to be at our church. Okay? And
somebody's trying to talk, honey. I hear somebody want to say something.
That's the wife. She's mumbling in the background.
Okay.
So praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, my sister. Praise God. But I just want to comment what you were talking to, because, you know, God blesses us to be a blessing to others.
Oh, yeah.
Thank God for that. And I want to say, too, God wants us to look nice, but he don't want us to go overboard and not to get a big head when he blesses us, because he wants us to look nice. Don't get a big head when he blesses us, because when my children were small, I couldn't buy them a lot of things, but special occasions, I would dress them up, you know, and let them, the little boy, my two sons, I'd buy them little suits at Easter time or whatever, and my daughter dressed them up like that. And if I could, I'd dress myself. But you don't get a big head about it. Because when we Christians, we don't dress like the world. We can't dress like I stand. Some, they still dress like the world, but we as saints of God, we still supposed to dress moderately. We can't dress like the world dress and go sleeveless and all this and that stuff. We still supposed to dress like saints, and we don't dress up like them. And we can't put on whatever style comes out in the world. We're still supposed to dress like becoming saints. And I thank God, because when I was coming along, the saints dressed like saints. They didn't wear anything. And still yet, I can't dress any kind of way now when I go out or whatever. I still dress like I'm saved. And that's something that God put in me. And, you know, that's just the way I was trained. And now, you see, they come out dressed in different ways. But I thank God for my training, because the way the saints dressed back then, it should be the same way now, but it's so different now. But it's good to get good training. And I thank God for that training that I got, because it shouldn't change.
Amen.
It don't change. But a lot of things have changed so now. But I thank God for the training that I got when I was coming up. Praise God. Because, you know, it was good training, because the saints dressed right, and I thank God I took it from them. And, you know, when you want to do what is right, you will do what is right. You won't get offended when somebody tell you the right thing to do. And I, because, see, when I used to be an usher way back then, and, you know, when you wear white, you know, you need to wear a dark slip under the white. But, and I didn't, oh, I was a young usher, and one of the older ladies told me that. I didn't get upset, but what I learned to do, I would wear a dark slip, but then I'd put a white slip over the dark slip. That's the way I learned to do. And it's just a way to do things. You know, you can be taught if you want to be taught. Praise God.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It's a way of dress looking like a holy woman. We should dress holy and look holy. Be holy on the inside and look dressed right. And I thank God for that, too. And so it's, the holiness is just right. It is just right. And I like the program that we look at on TV, Full Gospel. He say holiness is right. I don't care how you can turn it upside down, inside out. It's just holiness. It's holiness. And it's just the right way to live. And I thank God that in my home, wherever I may go, holiness, whatever way you stack it up, holiness is right. And the man that Bishop Ray was saying this season, do you believe you're going to heaven? But see, when we fall asleep now, it's not here we go to paradise. Yes, I'm living to go to paradise, because when all of us don't get to heaven at the same time. And that's when Jesus cracks that sky. And he called, Jesus called the people home. Yes, I'm living to live again. Praise God, because he promised us that. And if we obey what he say, we're going to get there together, sister, brother. We're going to get there together. If we live according to his word, yes, I believe I'm going to make that journey. Praise God. So we just have to live according to God's word. We have to love one another. We have to seek God's face for ourselves, because no one can answer that call but ourselves. And I thank God for the podcast, because it is a blessing. Praise our God.
Let me tell you, I was like 20, and my mom and I went out shopping. And I seen this, it's a one piece with a jacket.
Mm-hmm.
I liked it. It was pretty. It had a split up the left leg to a little above the knee. I wore to church. My grandmama, Eva Hagler, she got up. She said, I don't want to see that again. And you know what? I never wore it again.
See, I tell you, it's something that else. We have to dress according to God's way God wants us to dress. We have to dress coming saints. That's the way we are supposed to dress. Praise God. You can't dress like the world if you belong to God. We have to dress according to God's word.
Praise the Lord.
What are you saved from? If you're going to get saved and then do like the world, what do you get saved from? Praise mm-hmm. God.
Perfect question.
Yes, yeah, mm-hmm. a good question. What do you get saved from? If you're going to do the same thing that you was doing before you said you got saved, you know, I tell you, it's a change when Jesus is in your life.
Mm-hmm.
It's a change. Praise God.
And I mean, you have to walk the walk. Because, now, I've been looking through magazines and stuff trying to find my stuff because I don't want text. I cannot stand text. But I'm trying to find me some long skirts and long dresses. I've been getting up to the above the knee skirts and stuff. I'm like, they ain't catering to people like me because honestly, I've always loved my long skirts.
Yeah.
That's almost down to my ankles.
Mm-hmm.
And my shirts were always right under my neck because
mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm not the flashy, punchy type, and these things that these people are wearing, the leggings,
mm-hmm.
the skirts that are way up, like their butt cheeks are hanging out of it.
Oh,
I mean, honestly, the things that they're learning in the church, it should
mm-hmm.
be, well, I mean, honestly, I can't accept it. I would not accept it because it's too much to go against my Lord because
my.
He is what he is, and he does not bow down to people want to do any and everything because he cannot live according to our ways. He had to live according to his way.
We
to make it into glory land, my promised land, my paradise. To make it there,
mm-hmm.
we have to live the life. We can't
the
be
life.
Like today is today, let's do this, and let's go to church Sunday. Friday night, let's go clubbing. Saturday night, let's go party somewhere. Sunday, let's go sing in the choir. Let's go take over the offering. That is a disgrace to my Lord. That is a sheer disgrace.
We
can't straddle the fence if we're going to make it into heaven. Straddling the fence is going to cause me to go directly to hell.
Right, you sure will. We can't straddle the fence. We have to be holy or nothing at all.
Because honestly, if you do not pick heaven as your choice, then hell is your choice. Because there's no other choices but heaven or hell. So if you're not picking, choosing heaven and living the life through heaven, then hell is your choice. It's all on you. Because my glory will not touch anybody's free will. My Lord will not touch anybody's free will. Because if you say, well, you may be coming here, not him. It's your free will. It was your choice. You had the choice of your life where you want to spend eternity.
It's your choice. That's right. If he's not no force, we don't know one. He said, all souls are mine. But the soul that
sure
stands
is
so it's up.
Amen.
It's our choice. Yes, it is.
Yes, it is. Yes,
and
it
if
is.
We
I mean,
and live right, look at us and say, well, I want to pattern my life after that lady or that man. If we're not living the life, now how can they pattern their life after if we're not doing our part?
Yeah, because, I mean, we have to show every single person that we had to manifest within ourselves who we are.
Mm-hmm.
They show every person who we are. We can't be out here cussing with the next person or being in conversations and talking filth and craziness. We can't do all that. We had to separate ourselves. We had to
be
our own. That's why he gave us free will. And
that's
why he will not force us to choose him. Because he said, all souls are mine. So he is not taking down or anything.
No.
But we have to walk the walk professionally.
Right.
We profess in my class, we have to walk the walk. We can't be out here partying, drinking, drugging, Holy Trinity Charity.
Mm-hmm.
All this.
Yep.
That's right.
On the social manners, we have to walk the walk. We can't be thinking that we're hiding from there because my glory and my Lord sees everything. Nothing is hid from him. He will
see
every single thing that we do. He hears our thoughts.
Yes.
He hears our prayers.
Yes.
He sees our walk. He sees where we walk to. He sees where we go to. So he knows what we're doing.
Yes,
I mean,
he does.
We cannot hide nothing from him. Not one thing can be hid from him.
Nothing. Whether they should be hot or cold, because if you're lukewarm, feel you out of your mouth. Nothing. No. No mercy.
I'm telling you.
Mm-hmm. Lord have mercy.
Well, you ladies were doing pretty good there for a minute.
Well, it's time to get it right. Time to get it right.
You got
there's not one time in heaven to get it right or in hell to get it right. You had to get it right. This is our personal dressing up room to put on salvation, to take off sin. So this is our personal, our only place to get right, because my glory will not go a second time to hell to rescue nobody. He did that once, the one soul, and he did that once, that one soul, because he went down to get those from the John 3:13. Talks about how nobody has went to heaven. No person died, went to heaven. So all souls, Noah, David, Joshua, Job, all of them, Nathan, Jeremy, Deborah, all of them were in hell. So he went to hell to rescue them and to preach to the sinners there and to give them the opportunity. So he went there one time. He will not go back.
He's not going back.
Nope.
No, he's not going back.
Uh-uh.
No. He's not going back. So we got the word now. The word. And if they don't take it now, Jesus hadn't came. Now, Jesus, he came now. He's not going back down there. He ain't going back down there.
Know.
No.
Money.
Now, yeah, we got your own paper now. We got the books about... Uh-uh, he ain't going back in there. No, if they can't get it now, too late. Too late.
That's right.
Yeah, the last breath is too late. Because he's hovering right there with you until that last breath.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, Lord. Going back down there again. Mm-mm.
Yep.
Oh, no.
No. Mm-hmm. Oh, have mercy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, gee.
That's right. The word speaks to that. Romans 10. Romans 10.
He ain't going again.
No, he ain't going again. Romans 10.
Mm-mm.
Let me get that book. Romans 10.
Oh, no.
Mm-hmm. Romans 10. Okay. All right. Romans 10. Okay. Romans 10 and... Okay, Romans 10 and 10 and verse 6.
Mm-hmm.
Romans 10 and verse 6. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead. And then it says, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Can't believe it now.
Have no other choice but to believe it now because it's everywhere. And you know, we believe that it's going to get to the point to where they're going to take away the Bibles, you know. They're going to want us to shut the churches and all this stuff. So they're trying to pass laws now to where you can't you can't really speak to nobody. The way they said is that you can't make nobody become a Christian. In other words, they're trying to come up with this law to where they don't want you talking to nobody about how to become a Christian. See, this is the devil. He's going to another level. He's going to another level, you know?
Just like in China. No one will have an excuse because when the Spirit's dealing with you, that's the time to receive Him. And when you don't receive it, you're rejecting the Spirit. See, that's your opportunity.
Right.
You can't say, well, I didn't know. Because that's going to come right back to you. It'll come back to you.
It'll come back to you.
Sometimes you reject it, didn't receive it, it's going to come back. But it'll be too late to receive it.
That's right. Wait.
Yeah,
because the Spirit was born. Spirit gives us opportunity to accept it, but then when time is over, and it's sort of like a it's almost like your time is up. You know, there's nothing you can do.
And come back.
Because
nobody's not going to have an excuse.
No.
You're not going to have an excuse.
No. That's why Jesus Christ, when he came to the earth, the word even tells us God was in Jesus Christ. The word tells God was in Jesus Christ, reconciling the world back to himself. So nobody got God left me out. Nobody left out.
He fixed it that way so man can't say I didn't have a chance.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And can't nobody make you do something you don't want to do.
And he don't
even if somebody has a gun to your head, they cannot make you denounce your faith or nothing. That's up to you. And if you're weak and afraid, the love of God is not in you.
It's up to you. Know?
Can't nobody make us do nothing. Nothing. And it's always a decision because we have free will.
That's right. We have free will.
That's right. We all have free will. Yes.
Well,
and when I was out there in the world running and doing all this and doing that, boy, I took advantage of my free will. You know what I'm saying? I did this, I did that, I did all this over there. But look at me now. Most people, when they come into the fold and they want to change their life, they're not zealous. That's the word, zealous. You know, they're not on fire for God. You know, they just come up in the church and they sit there, you know, and they might clap their hands or, you know, they might say an amen or something, but then when they leave, that's it. That's it. It's just church on Sunday and maybe Bible study, maybe. And the rest of the week, it's nothing. It's nothing, you know. They don't have, like I said, zeal. They don't have the zeal. Now, that zeal is like you got all that energy worked up to do something, one thing, you know. I know when I first got saved, I felt real good. I had the energy, and I wanted to do this, and wanted to do that. But see, after a while, it's not that I laid salvation down. It's just that I got a little tired and I got a little lazy. And that zeal is not there anymore. It's not there for me to just run out and you know, just get a group of people together and start talking the word. It's a little different now. And I have to get to that point to whereas I'm doing what he has for me to do. And that's for all of us. to share the
that's
word
for all
of God.
Of,
share the, that's
yeah,
for all
share
of us
gospel.
To share
yes,
the gospel.
Lord. Oh, because like this, we living in the last days.
Yeah,
and I don't want to
be
in vain.
Yep.
I don't want to be in vain. Lord, no, I don't want to be in vain. Lord Jesus.
No.
Lord.
No. Mm-hmm. And we can't, and it tells us, I forget, I don't know if it's in Timothy or I don't remember if it's in Timothy or Titus, but it's somewhere in the New Testament. One of Paul's letters, it says, do not be not deceived. It says, be not deceived. In other words, there are people out there telling lies, and they're getting people's attention, you know, and people are following these certain people, you know, and we have to understand and realize we cannot be deceived because it may look like it's the truth. But in the end, it leads to death and destruction. Be not deceived, y'all. We can't just jump on the bandwagon and say, oh, my God, he's speaking good stuff. You know, he's the man to follow. No.
For yourself. You have
be
to
not
know
deceived,
the word.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was talking to a friend of mine yesterday, and we were talking about that, and I mentioned it to him. And I told him, I said, we can't be deceived, huh? There's a lot of stuff out there that people are falling prey to. Because it sounds good and it looks good. And then to one preacher said, there's a new gospel. It's about prosperity. They want to preach that you're going to be a billionaire and all this whole crazy stuff. But the word still tells us, do not be deceived.
Don't be deceived.
So we have to stand and keep standing.
Yeah, we have to stand.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And realize every word in the Bible is not God's word. The devil speaks.
The one speaking.
The devil has demons in the Bible. They speak. So we need to know and understand who to listen to. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because he'll tell you half truths. The devil will. That's true.
It makes it sound good. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, make it sound good. But only a covering of the outside will look real, real good, you know. And on the inside, it's evil and degradation and death and destruction. The word says he comes but for the what?
Steal,
kill,
and destroy.
That's right.
But see, we got hope tonight. He don't have no hope. He's already lost. We know his end, and that's the lake of fire. We know his end. Yes, we do. Yes, we do.
And just to think that he was in heaven already.
Yes, he was.
He was in heaven and got kicked out of heaven. And we're trying to get there, so we can't be following him because he ain't trying to get back. He can't get back.
No. His downfall was pride.
He's done. Mm-hmm. He's done.
Mm-hmm. Well, don't let pride.
Go ahead.
I said, don't let pride get in your way.
That's right.
That's his downfall. We have to be
humble. Humble and meek and lowly. And, you know, and when that time comes, God, he'll lift us up.
Yes, he will.
He'll come and heal us, like Sister Margaret, you know. If we live that life the right way, he will come in and bless us in certain ways that we never thought would happen. Right, Margaret?
That's right.
That's right. That is truly right.
All those years. Margaret's a witness, y'all.
Yeah.
I sure am.
Yeah, she's
a witness. He's done some work that can nobody dispute.
I had diabetes.
I had high blood pressure. But right now, I am healed. Those two things, kidney disease, colon issues, All that is healed. Thyroid issues, that is healed.
Yeah.
I am
to
healed.
God be the
Mark Lord is watching over and protecting me. He's been my protection. He's been my shield. He's been my guide. He's been my lead. He is not being. He is my guide. He is my lead. He is my everything. Because I have a testimony that nobody else has.
That's right.
I have a testimony to the glory that he's done in my life. Personal glory.
Yes.
I was an infant. My mom contracted typhoid fever from Holly Farms. And they told my mom and dad that I would not live. But here I am, 54 years later, here I am.
Amen.
I had a stroke back in 2017. And on the journey, I knew I was not. I knew that I could not live. And I was like, I mustered up the strength to be able to call out. I pleaded, and I did plead for myself. I never pleaded to save my life for myself because I was scared. No, I pleaded for my mom. My mom told me when my brother passed away, she said it's hard. She didn't know that my only son is gone. She said, but if there was you, I would have killed myself. My mom told me that because my mom and I, we were, you could not see one without the other. She would, we would go everywhere together. It wasn't nothing we didn't do together. So I prayed for her to make sure she didn't take her life so to know that she would be resting in hell. She is resting with the glory, my father, my glorious, my son. She's resting in their arms. She's resting in the peak of holiness because she was able to die without killing herself. And I mean, I am a true witness to the glory that my Lord will do for each and every one of us. So one of these days you will get the big testimony and see me because one day it will not be long. It will not be long at all. One day I'm walking. One day soon I will be walking.
Yes.
I claim it by the glory of my Lord. I claim it. I profess and I claim it. No matter what.
To God be the glory. We honor him. And we thank him now. And we just wait for the manifestation. You know? That's all we got. That's all we can do is just be patient. We believe in his word already. And his word is true. So we know these things are going to happen. Okay? Now we got 90 seconds. Would you like to take us out in prayer, Margaret?
I sure will. Precious, glorious, my love. Coming to you again, thanking you for the tremendous blessings that you bestowed on this podcast. Thank you for the leadership and deacons. Thank you for being able to participate. And thank you so much for being able to be with us. Touch each and every one that's on the line. Go to their homes. Go to their communities. Go to their jobs. Go to their faith. Help us according to your will and your way. For those that will listen, help them as well. I pray that each and every one has a tremendous blessing to live by you, my Lord. And for just a thing to know that when we manifest our faith in you, we show who we are. So thank you for giving us the strength to show who we are. Thank you.
Yes.
I praise you and I love you. I glorify you. This I pray.
Yes,
in the glorious mighty name of my glorious, wonderful, my Jesus Christ. Amen.
Yes, Lord.
Amen.
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 Glory, my Lord.
Amen. Yes, thank you so much. To God be the glory. Bless you.
Oh, no, thank you.
Yes, you are so welcome. And as I mentioned, this the next scheduled podcast, I'll probably need you, okay? So I'll be in touch, okay? All right?
Okay, just let me know. I'm available. I'm ready.
Will do. And thank you so much again. Shalom. Have a good night. Shalom.
Thank you. Bless you. Shalom.
Yes. Shalom. Shalom.